You're just a click away from online streaming
at WBZT.com. This program is paid for by the advertiser. The opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff, management, or sponsors of AM 1230 WBZT.
Welcome, South Florida, to The Business Counselor with your host, Ian Berkowitz, a former attorney advisor with the United States Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. Ian has spent his professional career assisting businessmen and women start, expand, and grow their businesses to their full potential. He rolls up his sleeves and works directly with his clients to develop and implement short and long-term goals to ensure their success. Currently, Ian is a practicing business and real estate attorney in Boca Raton. The Business Counselor is dedicated to providing you with resources and information on all aspects of succeeding in your business. If you're starting, growing, expanding, or exploding your business, this is the program for you. And now, here's your Business Counselor, Ian Berkowitz.
All right, well, welcome everyone. My name is Ian Berkowitz, and I am here, as I am every Wednesday, between the hours of 11 and 12. And we talk about business. We talk about everything there is. As Mike Dubin said, my illustrious announcer and my sometimes co-pilot, that you are going to learn and get everything there is to know about business when it comes to growing, expanding, growing your business, blowing up your business in a good way and not in a negative way. That's what we're here for. We do it every week. I also want to share with you, for those of you who are my daytime listeners, and I can say that now because as of next week, we go live. Well, not live, but we go repeat at night. So if you can't get the Business Counselor at night, or you've got a boss who's not letting you have this show just piping through the entire office and the sound system in order to do that, as of next week, I believe the 13th, stay tuned because you're going to be able to hear us repeat of the show, the Wednesday 11-hour show at 9 o'clock at night starting next week. So that being the case, I'm glad you're here. We have an extraordinary show today. We're going to talk about communication, which is something that I try to do every week as I'm here as the Business Counselor. And we have an unbelievable guest. She's a world-renowned speaker, a motivational speaker. She's going to talk to us about motivation and certainly about how to effectively communicate, which I think is something that everyone can learn about. There are days where I'll drive up from Boca to West Palm Beach, and sometimes I'd like to communicate with some fellow drivers on the highway, and sometimes in a nice way and maybe not a nice way. Communication is part of what we always do, and this I know that this segment is well needed. It's certainly something that if you are out there and you like the tips that you get on a weekly basis from this program, this is something that you should definitely keep in mind and listen extremely diligently today. If this is the first time you listen to the program, I want to introduce myself. My name is Ian Berkowitz. I'm a business and real estate attorney. I practice in Boca Raton, Florida. My practice is primarily dealing with, starting businesses, growing and expanding businesses, buying and selling businesses, and working with business owners and maximizing their potential in all aspects. I do it certainly on the legal side and helping business owners do that. I also do it as a consultant. And if you've also listened to the show, you know that I am an expert in government contracts and government programs. I used to practice for the U.S. Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. I started with them doing disaster work on Hurricane Andrew. So I do a lot of stuff regarding disaster recovery. And then I worked up in Washington dealing with business programs for small businesses, financing programs, government contracting programs, all of those kinds of programs that will allow for business owners and even entrepreneurs and budding entrepreneurs to get into the business, to start your business, to expand your business, and to ultimately even get the government to buy your product or service. And that's what we do here. So I'm ecstatic that you are listening. I also always want to say hi to a lot of my regular listeners. I know Miriam is always out in L.A., who is always listening on a regular basis. Mitch is in Minneapolis, Nubby in Chicago. I know that Julie is in Pembroke Pines. I actually have the whole crew at Levy & Associates down in Boca Raton, my new home. They are probably listening, or they should be listening right now. And so I want to say hi to them. And anyone else who is a budding entrepreneur and a business person, I want to, again, welcome you to the program. I believe, and those that listen to me will also agree, that this show is informative. It is real. It gives you the reality of business. It gives you the specifics from the experts in the field. And that's what this is all about. And I want you to, become a regular and hopefully take advantage of everything that you're getting here so that you can put it into practice. So that being the case, I do want to start out with a bit of news, which is right off the presses. I was in Washington last week doing some government contracting work and also working with a charity. We had a large seminar with this charity organization that I belong to. But on the business side of what I did, I had the fortune of being up on the Hill, seeing what our congressmen and senators are doing, and picking at their head and their brain as far as what's going on for small businesses. I do want to share with you right off the presses. And this is, I want to tell you, for those of you who also read my articles in Boca News, you will also know that, you know, I try to give you the current events. So for those of you listening today, you're going to get a insider view as far as what to expect in tomorrow's Boca News. I usually don't do this, but I am going to do it today. Tomorrow's Boca News column is going to focus on a new House bill, House Bill number 1873, called the Small Business Fairness and Contracting Act, which just passed through the committee on the House side. It is now obviously going to go to the full House for a vote, and I suspect that this will be approved. And then, of course, it'll come go over to the Senate, and the Senate will come up with their thing. And then, you know, if you know the process, it then goes to committee, and then everyone votes on it. And then, of course, it goes to the president to be signed off. But I will tell you that if you've been watching the government contracting arena and world, you've been understanding that, you know, sometimes things get directly sourced to one contractor. And a lot of the times, some people think that there are these large businesses that are getting all the contracts. And sometimes the small businesses and the women-owned businesses and the minority-owned businesses and the veteran-owned businesses are not getting their fair share. So the House finally said, listen, we've got some research. We understand that this may be a problem, or it is a problem, and we are going to do something about it. But the biggest thing, and I'm not going to go into the whole article, the thing I want you to get the most, and this is why this segment is so important, is that right now the government goal of giving contracts to small businesses, minority businesses, women businesses, veteran-owned businesses is 23%. And so that approximates to about $83 billion a year going to those individuals. Well, the House said, we're going to make sure that the small business community and those segments of the population get even more. And so they are recommending that that 23% be increased by 7% to get to 30%. Now, what does that mean? That means that out of the $345 billion that goes to small businesses, almost one-third, 30% are now going to make sure to go to that. And there are various other things in that bill to make sure that it's accountable and that small businesses are only getting that business. But it is a boom. It is a time. The time is now. As I'll tell you, this month's Small Business Magazine has this time it's mine. And it's a picture of an entrepreneur who's taken the step to get into business to really, you know, maximize their potential. And that's what this program is about. That's what you need to be focused on. If you're in that part-time business, you got to now take the next step to make it a full-time business. Push yourself into, you know, fulfilling your dreams. You've got ideas for yourself. You know what you want to do. You've got ideas what you want to do. Don't wait for someone to convince you to do it. You got to take action now. And that being the case, that's what I want you to learn. That's what I want to get you to understand. And that's why I want to welcome Barbara Braunstein to the program. How are you, Barbara?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, good. Glad. I'm really happy that you're here because I know that you are someone who goes all over the world. I'm going to talk a little bit about your background, but there's no doubt that you are really in the forefront. You are dealing with people every single day. You're talking to them primarily, I guess, as a motivational speaker, someone who really reaches out to them so that people can maximize their potential, so people can be as good as they want to be, maybe even better. Maybe finding things within themselves and allowing them to open themselves up so they can really maximize their potential. And whatever it is, if it's in business, if it's in personal life, it could be, I guess, in any aspect that people have. And people need that. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the beginning before we got on the air about a situation this morning of a client of mine who really needed a little push in the right direction to build up some strength in order for her to go into a special meeting. So at your background is, you know, you are certainly a major motivational speaker. You're internationally acclaimed. You specialize in helping people take charge of their lives and get results. And you have hands-on management experience. You were formerly in hospital administration. You were in the airline industry and also in the sports world. You're also a former model and a competitive tennis player. And your practical skills and strategies, along with your energy and your passion, I think, of what you do and how you really exhibit it, to the people, and along with enthusiasm and humor, is what makes you a top-rated speaker for various different businesses and all kinds of different locations. What I know about you is that your clients and the places that you speak are the creme de la creme, big companies, substantial amounts of people sitting in a room that will hear you. I know that you've been a keynote of many substantial places and many dinners and people, and I've seen some of those on your websites, even the testimonials from people that, I mean, I think are ready to just jump in their car and drive 100 miles an hour after they hear you speak. And that's, I think, it's a gift, certainly, but it's something that I think everyone needs on a daily basis. I guess the first question is, you know, having that kind of a background with those kinds of results and really being able to reach out to people, I mean, is that something that people should be trying to deal with every single day and trying to make themselves that energized? I mean, how do people, is that a daily thing that people do, or is it a once every 6 months they go to hear Barbara speak? I mean, what do really people need to do in order to really feel their best every single day?
You know, I really think you're talking about a form of mental toughness. And mental toughness training, just as it comes from the athletic world, also translates into business. And every day we have to take charge of our own lives and understand it's up to us. You know, we're not victims. It's not anybody that does it to us. The business world doesn't do it to us. We do it for ourselves. We take charge. We get up and we decide what we're going to do that day, and we set our goals and we move forward with energy, enthusiasm. Life is very short and we've got to get going on it.
It sort of seems, and I know, you know, when you talk about it, it seems like we always try to deal with things in the most simplistic terms. And people may be listening saying, you know, Barbara, I wish, you know, I got bills, I've got three kids, you know, this one, there may be a medical issue. How do I really separate all of the day-to-day things that I'm dealing with and be able to find that strength and energy? Or let's just use an example of a business owner. Most business owners, and you're a business owner as well, you have your own business and dealing with, you know, your travel and all of the things, preparing for your speeches and your seminars and your programs. How do people find the way to sort of separate those emotions and then at least find that strength so that every day is a new day?
Well, I think we've all noticed that energy is contagious. Energy, high energy is contagious, and just the same as low energy or negativity is contagious. So what I always say to myself and to the people who listen to me speak, in the beginning of every single day, just act as if and you will become. In other words, fake it till you make it, as we say. Make up your mind that every morning for the first 20 minutes, whether you're at home or when you are beginning your work day, that you will act as if this is the best day of your life. You don't have any other worries going on. In other words, be an actor. Be a good actor, just as stage actors come on and they get paid to act in a certain way. Because once we act that way, we will become that way. If we act more confident, if we act more energetic, if we act more positive, we will become that person. So sure, we all have setbacks and disappointments and other outside hassles and things that we are dealing with on that basis too. But there's no doubt it is up to us to take charge, set small daily goals for yourself, what you're going to do and what's in your means to accomplish that day.
And I think that that's great advice. I mean, I think for most people get up in the morning, they're groggy, they're sort of, you know, they're not jumping out of excitement out of bed. They're basically just rolling out of bed. You know, they get to a sink. They're trying to splash some water on their face to, you know, and then they're sort of dragging themselves into a shower. Well, maybe they get pepped and they get energized when they get into the shower. But, I mean, it's a routine. And people forget, you know, you need to have, for me, it's I have to work out in the morning because that gives me the energy. It also gives me an early ability to deal with a sense of accomplishment. I've already accomplished something for the day. Even if I do nothing else, I've at least given my body the ability to be able to feel that I've accomplished something. And maybe that's just it. I mean, people need to really try to, you know, seek somewhere within themselves and set those goals. I mean, it's like every day is a new day.
There's different things that people do in the morning. For example, I know when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I need to do, I call it wander around. And I would say that this is common with many, many women. maybe men too, that I just need the first 20 minutes to do nothing. I sort of wander into the living room and maybe pick up a newspaper and throw that out, maybe look out the window or, you know, look to see what Diane Sawyer is wearing that day on, you know, on television, and just sort of wander around and gather myself before I begin. You know, a lot of people get up and the first thing they do is run outside and exercise. I'm not like that.
Right.
And you don't have to be necessarily like that.
Right.
But you have to create a space for yourself every morning where you can get in the frame of mind as this is going to be my day.
And it's also, I guess, always being in touch with yourself. You may have to, on certain days, like this person this morning I talked to you about, she knew that she had something major on her agenda. So she needed to act. She really was looking to be a little bit more energized and a little bit more stronger than on a normal day because she knew that she was going to deal with something. She may not have thought it was an obstacle, but it was certainly going to be a challenge for her.
You know, it's interesting in the area of mental toughness, and I take this from my sports training. For example, when my background is tennis. When you're playing a tennis match, you are only actually engaged in the technical aspects of the sport 20% of the time.
Huh.
In other words, the other 80% of the time, you are doing something else. You are walking around, you are changing sides, you're introducing yourself to someone, you're thinking about your next point, you're reacting between points. And I think that's translated into business, too. Sure. There's a lot of technical aspects, and certainly we need to improve those areas, but a lot of the things only have to do with the human condition and what we're going to do as individual people to maximize our performance either at home or at work. And we are in control of those.
Well, that's a good way to segue into the main topic of what we're talking about, which is powerful and persuasive communication strategies in order for you to really get to business success. Communication is something that probably in our sleep we deal with, certainly while we're awake we're dealing with. Between the electronic age, between people still doing business person to person, communication is tremendously effective. I just went to Disney, the AT&T, I think it's now Siemens, the big ball in Epcot. It's all about communication from the early days of communication, which is really more verbal than it was sign. By, you know, the hieroglyphics, and then it turned into print, and then it turned into, I mean, now certainly we're in the robust electronic age. Communication is essential. And business is, like you say, there's a part of business that's really the technical. A plumber plumbs, so to speak, or an electrician deals with wires. But there are so many other aspects of the business, which really, and I'll take your assumption that about 80% of the other aspects is really doing the non-technical things. Like lawyering is only a part of it, or accounting is only a part of it for an accountant.
It is said today, in fact, that up to 80% of success in business is due to good interpersonal communication skills. In other words, it's not enough to know your business. If you can't convince and persuade people, if you can't negotiate, if you can't resolve issues, if you can't deal with difficult people, if you can't have a tolerance for different personality styles and work styles, you just can't be as successful.
Yeah, no, and there's no doubt, because we get that a lot as a business person, and as some of my clients operate businesses, they'll always say that so much of their business is just the public's perception as far as their quality control, their service people, the people who work for them, how they're obviously, you know, making the customer or the client feel. That's sometimes so much more important than the actual product or service itself.
There's a rule of thumb in communications. It's called the four-minute rule. The four-minute rule of communication says when you meet someone for the first time, you have approximately 4 minutes to be accepted or rejected by them.
Is that right?
4 minutes. That's pretty scary. In fact, in an interview, it is said that that time frame is even shorter.
Hmm.
In an interview, the decision not to hire is usually made in 30 seconds. That's not the decision to hire. I mean, you have to prove yourself. But we screen people pretty quickly. We may not be proud of that, but we do. So, boy, we better know what we're doing.
And it's not just – people would say that it's really just basically summing someone up based upon a look, how they're physically appearing or how they're, you know, how they're dressed or what have you. But the minute that someone opens up their mouth really makes, I think, more of a difference than certainly that first aspect, the first appearance.
Well, there's three areas of communication, and they all take place in the first 30 seconds. First, we have the visual. That's what you're talking about. In
right.
other words, our stance, our posture, our arm postures, our gesture, our handshake, which is a critical communication skill.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have our vocal communication skills. That means the sound of our voice. What does the sound of our voice sound like to other people? And then, of course, we have the verbal And that means the words and phrases that we choose.
Well, I know that that's an area that we're going to now dive into a little bit, on that visual, on that vocal, and on those verbal. And what would you think when it comes to the 4 minute? I know you brought up the 4 minute rule of communication. You know, what are the top three things that people really need to be aware of in that 4 minutes when they're trying to exhibit? Now, let's just say it's a new relationship as opposed to an existing one. On a new relationship, what are the things that people need to know when it comes to that 4 minute rule on what are the most important things to realize?
Well, I'll give you a couple of hot tips perhaps in each of these areas, but certainly in the visual, that means our body language. First of all, it would be our handshake. And of course, there's only one handshake now for men and for women. And some men have been schooled in a different style that you shake a woman's hand a little bit softer, or you don't take a full handshake. There's only one handshake for men and for women. Of course, men may ease up slightly just because your bones and your hands are larger, but there's one handshake.
Okay.
Second of all, I would say in the visual area, it would be eye contact. Here in the United States, also in Canada, here in the USA and Canada, we are very visually oriented, and we need to look people in the eye. We are actually in the minority in that area. It's not that way in many countries and many cultures, but here we look people in the eye. So we look them in the eye, we have a strong handshake, and we have a smile. Many people think they have a pleasant look on their face when they're nervous, they're busy. They do not. It may be a little bit cranky looking, or, you know, concerned looking, or tight. So we have to have a big smile on our face. So those three things I would say visually when we first meet someone.
All right. Well, great. Well, that's the initial tips, but I know that there's a lot more that we're going to talk about and discuss. We are going to take a very short, quick break right now. We're on with Barbara Braunstein talking about effective communication strategies to enhance your business success. If you are a business owner and you would like to really learn on how to effectively communicate, which means that 80% of your opportunity to enhance your business is directly related to the stuff we're going to be talking today. Come back after the message, and we'll be able to give you some more tips as far as how to effectively do that. We'll be right back after this message. Hi, this is Ian Berkowitz, the Business Counselor. During the Business Counselor radio show, I've been preaching to you about the benefits of government contracting. I've also been telling you about the seminars that I've been doing all around the country, teaching individuals just like yourself how to become successful government contractors. Why aren't you getting the thousands and millions of dollars which you deserve in your pocket from the government? Now is your chance to find out exactly how to get the government to be your customer. Now is your chance to find out how you can get grants and loans to start growing and expanding your business. Using this information can lead to a dramatic improvement in your lifestyle, your income, and your future. Email me immediately at info@businesscounselor.com to get all the information you need to register for the Business Counselor's upcoming government contracting seminar. Hundreds of billions of dollars are being spent and given away each year by the federal government to secure products and services. Billions of dollars are being spent by the state of Florida. And hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent here locally by our counties and cities in order to provide services to our community. Why aren't you getting your fair share of that money? For the first time, I will be conducting seminars in our South Florida market so that you can learn everything you need to know about putting that money into your pocket and getting that contract to grow your business. You owe it to yourself to find out everything there is to know at this seminar so that you can take advantage of the billions of dollars available. This highly acclaimed one-day seminar on government contracting is for all types of business owners, especially women, minorities, veterans, and the disabled. You owe it to yourself and your family to sign up today and get registered for the upcoming seminars as soon as possible. Please send me an email to info@businesscounselor.com or go to www.businesscounselor.com to find out more information today. Seating is extremely limited, so it is very important that you register as soon as possible. I assure you that after one day with me, your business counselor, you will be armed with all the tools you'll need to become a successful government contractor.
You're listening to The Business Counselor with your host, attorney Ian Berkowitz, on AM 1230 WBZT, The Talk Station, where we not just talk about your business, but take your business to new heights. Find out how you can get your business out of neutral and into high gear. And now, let's get back to your business counselor, Ian Berkowitz.
All right. Well, welcome everyone back. We are talking today with Barbara Braunstein, who is a motivational speaker talking about communication. And if this is the first time you've listened, welcome to the program. My name is Ian Berkowitz. I am the business counselor, and I'm here every Wednesday between 11 and 12 talking to you about all aspects of your business. I am a business and real estate attorney practicing in sunny, sort of partly cloudy, I guess, today, Boca Raton, Florida. And I am a former attorney advisor with the U.S. Small Business Administration, first starting with them down here doing disaster work on Hurricane Andrew and then working up in Washington. I also have a master's degree in government from the Johns Hopkins University. And I really work with businesses on all aspects, certainly starting with them, growing with them, helping them get financing, dealing with dollars and cents when it comes to getting your business off the ground and moving forward. And then I do a fair amount of work in the government contracting arena. You heard during the break, I host seminars here in our local market and all over the country, in addition to doing them for two large seminar companies, the National Grants Conferences, and also for the Trump Institute starting in June. So there is no better one spot to find out everything there is to know about business and how to succeed in business than learning about it here. I'm glad you're here with us today. I'm going to reintroduce Barbara Braunstein, who is a motivational speaker. She has her own company here in Florida, in Boca Raton, and she has had tremendous amount of experience in her background in hospital administration, in the airline industry, and in the sports world. She was a former model, a competitive tennis player, and she really deals with giving people tips and ideas and strategies and motivating them in order to really maximizing their potential. She's extremely energetic. I've seen her in action with enthusiasm and humor, and she is a top-rated speaker, and we are very fortunate to have her here today talking to us. The few things that I wanted to mention, Barbara has a new book that is hot off the presses, just like our house bill I talked about. It's called Firefly Moments, 101 Stories to Light Up Your Life. And it is literally, the book came out just like...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And so people want to get it. I know you have a website. It's www.BarbaraBraunstein, all one word, and I'll spell Braunstein, Braunstein.com, and people can go there. Now, the book is not even uploaded to the website, so if they want to get the book, then they can call you directly at 800-827-0063. And tell me a little bit about the book. I mean, it's motivational, inspirational, but what does it really do? Is it, how do people read it? Is it an easy read, a hard read, and what are they getting out of it?
It's an easy read, okay. And I would say that it's now and again reading. It's not something you have to read straight all the way through. You can pick it up and read a few stories. It's actually 101 true stories from my life, and people will learn a lot about me and how I ventured into business and how I lived my life and persevered, and a lot of the mental toughness things that I've applied to my personal life. I began to collect these stories years ago, and some of them I have shared with my audiences. Some of them are new in my book. Mm-hmm. And as I began to look at all these moments collectively, I saw them as firefly moments. In other words, bright flashes of insight or light or meaning, not always wonderful, some were painful, but that really have an important impact on moving forward and being successful in life. And I thought to myself, everybody has these moments. And if we stop and really focus on them, that's what makes life meaningful. In other words, it's all of these small moments all strung together, which really makes for a wonderful life. So I hope that my stories will encourage other people to say, and in fact, that's been the feedback so far. They'll say, oh, I love that story. It made me think of, or it reminded me of, that's what I want to do with my life, and I haven't done that yet.
Right.
So that's what the reading is about.
Well, people don't, I think some people realize, but most people don't, that, we are a combination of all the experiences that we have in life. And, we think that maybe our experiences are the most unique and there's no one else out there. It's like, someone has always said to me that, that you have a twin somewhere out there, that there's this twin, someone who looks identical to you that's out there. But we have a lot of common experiences, and we can learn from people that have done that. As a parent, and as you know this, as a parent, you know, we always like to share with our kids that, well, we don't want you to have to experience it. We've done it before. Don't reinvent the wheel. We've gone through it. Take our advice. This is the way it works. And that's the same thing. Someone can read your book, and they may have a similar obstacle or a similar situation that you went through, and that you'll be able to share with them how you were able to get through it. And, I mean, that's how I learn. I mean, I pick up tips and bits from my clients that are successful, tremendous business people, and I find out that they have highs and lows as well. And what they do and how they deal with those obstacles and how they're able to get through it, I think, is tremendously important. So, I mean, that's a great read so that people can really understand that. You know, that being said, you also, I know, have a another series, and this is, I shared with you earlier that this was part of an article that was in Inc. magazine, I think, a few months ago, how to deal with different, diverse, and difficult people. The workplace is a tremendous thing as far as how we have to sometimes get along with others. I think the days of, you know, being your own person, being a one-man shop, just doing everything, I think are done. You know, you need to have some staff around you, even if you have one other person as an assistant or a partner in doing things. And there's a whole dynamic. And let's sort of bring that in, I guess, the topic that we're dealing with, which is effective communicating, you know, and effective communication in three different mechanisms.
You know, Ian, I would say that it's a miracle that we get along as well as we do.
Yeah.
Because when you think we are different from each other, not just in our own work groups, but in the world at large, whether it's our customers, our clients, our neighbors, our friends, we are different culturally. We are different generationally, thanks to the Age Discrimination Act. Now there are four generations
right.
working in the same workforce and living under the same roof, perhaps.
Right.
We are different in personality styles. There are four basic personality styles, and we're all different there. We have to know how to get along. We are different in gender, and make no mistake, there are gender differences in communication styles.
Right.
So I think it's a wonder that we get along as well as we do.
So how do we do that? I mean, let's talk about these other things. I know at the beginning of the program we talked about the areas of communication and then the specific topics, visual, vocal, verbal. Let's just take the visual. And, you know, under that, for visual, people understand it's more like body language. How you hold yourself out, stance, posture, arms, gestures, nodding. You know, just in general, you know, how people perceive. It was an interesting, I was watching on the net yesterday, you know, the Queen was obviously here, and the president made some kind of a faux pas. I guess he made a comment where he was alluding to the fact that she was alive in 1776, and he caught himself. Obviously, he was talking about 1976. But, of course, the media ran with it. What did they run with? The picture of the Queen looking at the president when that comment was made and her look, and it was more of a stern look on her face. All of that kind of stuff plays out every single day as far as what and how people perceive, how we're communicating with them, and let alone the kind of things that we're looking for, especially in sales. And you, I know, have given topics to people in dealing with sales, but sales, you know, visual is practically everything. I mean, it's how you really are doing it.
Well, here's an example. Head nodding. You see, here in our culture, when we are listening to people, we should be occasionally and just slightly nodding our head. It's an occasional and a slight nod or a tilt of the head. But for the majority of the time, we should be holding our head up and looking straight at the person. Well, if we nod our head too often, as some people do,
right.
we call them bobbers instead of nodders, and it looks silly. It looks flighty. We just nod, nod, nod. People on the phone, in fact, are what we call verbal bobbers. You know, when you talk to people and they go, yeah, 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 uh-huh, mm-hmm, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It renders them sort of silly. So we occasionally nod. Also, if we nod too much and we don't stop when we're listening, we just nod, 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 people may think that we're agreeing with them.
Right.
When in fact we're not. Some people bob their head too much because they're impatient and the person doesn't talk fast enough for them.
Right.
So it's sort of hurry up, come on, come on. And they nod their head. And that is very off-putting to people.
Right.
So just in that one simple area of visual communication, there can be all kinds of miscommunication. And we can offend other people. We don't even know it we gain the skills.
But I think the underlying issue, which, you know, and this is what I'm thinking about when you say that, I think that's it's based upon really being a listener. If people are listening and they're engaged and they're really, you know, paying particular attention. I mean, there are some people who will have an earshot as far as five other conversations going on, so therefore they really can't focus on listening to you or effectively communicating one-to-one, or even if you're participating in a conversation. I mean, if you want to participate, you got to be in it.
Here in the States, we are notoriously poor listeners.
Right.
Other cultures teach their children how to listen. For example, the Caribbean cultures.
Right.
They say, the elders say to the children, now, when grandma's talking to you, this is what you do.
Right.
And this is how you look. I would say some of the areas that we lack, that we really need to focus on as far as our visual body language, is keeping our arms down. Arms crossed, hands on the hips, or fidgety motion with our arms, say to the other person, I'm really not listening to you. I'm not paying attention.
Right.
Eye contact, as I mentioned, is critical.
Right.
Not interrupting the other person is
sure.
critical. Some people think that they interrupt. They're just being nice. They say, oh, me too. Wait, let me tell you about me.
Right.
So they just interrupt out of enthusiasm, and they don't realize the other person is saying, they didn't let me finish.
Right, right. No, and that's very frustrating. People, I guess, don't understand that. What about stance? That's one of the other things that you have on the list. People don't understand. You have to have, I mean, you always hear that. Even in etiquette classes, I know, you know, you have to stand straight up, and you want, you know, your arms and, you know, your shoulders back. I mean, you know, you want to have good stance. Just for medical reasons, you want to have good posture and good stance. I mean, is it because we just are, I don't know. I mean, what
We're
is
slouchers.
It that turns us? We're slouchers.
Here's some things I can recommend. First of all, in a standing posture, we should be standing with our feet a comfortable shoulder width apart.
Okay.
Now, that's how men typically stand.
Right.
And it's not that we women should be more like men. It's that when women stand with their feet tight together or with their legs crossed, that it does not come across to others as confident and sure and confident looking. Secondly, good posture. Posture says everything about getting respect. Everything. Now, certainly that has to do with shoulders back, stomach in, and butt under you.
Right.
But if we take a practice from yoga, all we have to think about is one thing. Everybody, if you're standing up or when you think of yourself standing up, pretend that there is a string attached to the center of the top of your head. Now, not your forehead, but the center of the top of your head.
Right.
And imagine that that string is pulling you up.
Hmm.
And that's all you have to think. And everybody, when they get that image, grows about an inch.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about as far as good posture. Arm postures, our hands should be either behind us, but not in a rigid parade rest stance, but behind is a good look.
Right.
Hands crossed in front of us is a fine look, as long as we don't stay there too often. Otherwise, we call it the fig leaf stance. Looks like you're covering something up.
Mm.
They also could be, for gentlemen, perfectly think it's fine to have one hand in your pocket,
right?
As long as you're not jingling your keys or your change,
right?
So a casual or arms down at your sides, although it feels a little awkward, it's a good looking stance,
right?
Be careful of no hands on your hips and no arms crossed in front of you. Those are the two that are absolute no-nos.
And what people don't realize is that, you know, that they consciously or subconsciously may be doing these things, but yet they're sending a message, because that's how we as people sort of understand. You know, it's, it's the same circumstance of a look. You know, you ever say, you know, I know once in a while I would get these kinds of looks from my dad, and I sort of knew when I got the look. I do that sometimes to my son. Well, how surprising that is. I could certainly, you know, if there's something that I want to get across, and I don't have to say a thing, but I can give a look, and he sort of understands. And that's really it. I mean, people, you know, we don't have to always use words. We can use that visual appearance for that to happen. Let's get into vocal, because I know vocal is the kind of thing. And let me give you a perfect example. We went, as I said, I went with my wife up to this convention last week up in Washington, and we heard from some unbelievably name-recognizable speakers, tremendous politicians, secretaries of some departments in the government. These are unbelievable people. And yet there were a few of them that my wife said to me, I mean, they are putting me to sleep. This is just horrible. They have such unbelievable information that they could clearly want to translate, but some of them were just speaking so monotone that it was sort of that. And that's the other thing. I mean, it is so important, I guess, as far as clarity, voice inflection, volume, how you enunciate what you're saying. I mean, you want that energy. We even were reading, we're avid book readers, but sometimes now we're buying these audio CDs. And if you're dealing with an audio CD, and if the person is, you know, you don't have the, you're not looking at the words and trying to imagine it, you're really now just listening, and it's all about that, you know?
I always say, to understand the best voice tone, all you have to do is listen to your favorite people on the radio.
Right.
Favorite newscaster, because all they have is their voice. You see, they don't have the visual aspects. They can't use gestures to add emphasis to their message. All they have is their voice, so their voice tone.
Right.
And some of the most important qualities of a good voice tone, of course, when you're speaking, is good voice volume. Everybody who is supposed to hear you should hear you comfortably. Not too loud and not too soft.
Right.
Another one, of course, is enunciation. People who enunciate their words clearly are believed to be more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful of could you, would you, gimme, gonna, have to, amina. I always say amina, you know, instead of I am going to.
Oh, that's right.
So it really renders somebody a little bit less assured. Also, animation. Animation means life or energy in your voice. As you just mentioned, Ian, listening to a monotone voice is almost death. I can promise you right now there are brilliant people in this world who can never convince and persuade anybody because
right.
of a monotone voice.
It's true.
So we have to have energy or life. That's what sells. You know, I always say to people, I don't know what business you think you're in, but we're all in the business of sales.
Right.
Because we are always selling. We are selling, convincing, persuading people. And a good voice, animation, energy, life, passion in your voice does that.
Yeah, I agree.
I also would add one because I think it's so important, and
sure.
that's what we call the weather report voice. Many people have a voice tone that is what we call up-talking, meaning that their voice goes up at the end of a sentence instead of down. For example, boss, I've really been working hard lately, and I don't think I'm getting the recognition I deserve. I notice that some people are being invited to management-level meetings, and I'd like to go to those. You see, if you communicate in a voice tone like that, you're just going to get ignored by your boss. It sounds whiny, wimpy, and you don't even think that you deserve that.
Right.
So if you listen to the same message, the words are right, but the voice tone should be better. The voice tone could be, boss, I've really been working hard lately, and I don't think I'm getting the recognition I deserve. I notice that some of my colleagues are being invited to management-level meetings. I'd like to be considered for those also. So the words were good. The words
right.
were the same. But it's the voice tone.
Right.
So the voice that carries the most weight is the voice that's just like a weather report voice.
Hmm.
You wouldn't be saying, it's sunny out today. And you wouldn't be saying, it's a little bit sunny out today.
Hmm.
You just say, it's sunny out today.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, people don't realize that. You know, there's ways to utilize the voice. There's ways to get your point across. As you know, certainly as a professional speaker, there's times that you want to stop and maybe, you know, go slower. There's times that you want to speed up a little bit. There's times that you want to sort of give time for thought. If you want, I mean, there's so many things that you can do on how to inflect your voice and how to really express yourself. And I agree with you. I mean, I get that. You know, when I do my seminars as well, I mean, put it this way. I've heard some other speakers who have self-proclaimed themselves as unbelievable speakers. And at the end of the day, I'll sit there and listen to, you know, them making up words and let alone how they're using words. And it's not impressive at the very least. And I think it's really important, I guess, how people really do that. People really get it. And yeah, in this medium, let alone in radio, I mean, this is all that, you know, my two mediums that I'm out there is really print and also radio. So a lot of people aren't seeing me, but they're hearing me and they're reading me. And aside from the column side on the radio side, it makes the world a difference. So I agree. Let's get into one of the last things, which is verbal, which, you know, when I mention it, and that's why I said about someone making up words. A lot of the times people just make up words. You know, you scratch your head. Is that a word or is that not a word? But verbal is words and phrases which either enhance or sabotage communication. And I'll say this. My assistant said that to me, I guess, the other day because I consider myself a letter writer or a wordsmith in a sense that when I write letters, let alone demand letters and letters on behalf of clients dealing with exploring things or making their points, I carefully choose my words. As a lawyer, it's all about carefully choosing your words, let alone in agreements and what have you. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about what you mean by this verbal and the verbal formulas.
Well, there are some words and phrases. We call them verbal sabotage. For example, here's two words I suggest that everybody eliminate from their vocabulary entirely, and that is constructive criticism. You see, those words will sabotage a communication because I don't care how well-intentioned you are. If you start out by saying, I have some constructive criticism for you, people are not going to receive that well. They're not going to say, great, this is wonderful.
So what's the alternative in that kind of a term?
The best way to start out, instead of constructive criticism, is to say, I have some information which I think will help you.
Oh, okay.
Or I have an observation which I think will help you. It's the exact same thing, and people will hear it in a better way. Another one, for example, is the word but. Every time you say the word but, when you are comparing what I think to what you think, how I feel to how you feel, or your idea to mine, you always sabotage the communication. It's considered a verbal eraser. For example, if you say, I know you mean well, Ian, but, or if you say, well, so what you're thinking is such and such, but, it's just as a matter of eliminating the respect for the other person.
So in that case, what is a better alternative?
The word however? To use is, however, is what we call a soft but.
Oh, okay.
It's still in the but category.
Okay. All right.
The correct word is either no word at all, just, well, this is how you see it. Here's how I see it.
Okay.
You don't have to. If you're going to use a conjunction, we use the inclusive conjunction and. That's one way of looking at it. And here's how I see it. That adds weight. That says, I respect you, and I'm asking you to respect me.
I agree. Well, that sounds great. As far as other things people should understand, I know we talked about the constructive criticism. I mean, how generally, you know, how do people really receive criticism? I mean, how do you really verbally express, and let's just take in an employee and an employer situation, where an employer really probably has the tendency and the desire to always manage and make sure that their employees are getting the maximum, they're doing their best, they're really giving 110%, they're loyal, they're effective. How does a employer really put that into practice, really, you know, manage those employees so that they can really improve tremendously?
Well, I have a quick formula for you on how to offer constructive criticism. Whenever you want to improve an employee's performance or discuss a particular issue, is if you use a four-step technique. I'll give it to you very briefly. It's called the FIR technique. Step number one, F, is state the facts. State the facts. That means you give evidence, you give examples, day, place, and time. For example, it would be something, at the meeting this morning, I noticed that when you were giving your presentation, you used the word such and such. And then again, in the report that you submitted to the board of directors, I noticed that the phrase such and such, in other words, facts.
Okay.
You just state the facts. The second step, I, in the FIR technique, is the impact. What is the impact of those facts on our success, on our team, on our goals? How does that affect, those facts affect what we're doing? That would be, this is what I think about it. This is my opinion. The third step, R, is very important. R, the first R, is respect the other person. In other words, I know that that may be a word that you have commonly used in this case, or I'm sure that you didn't mean to express it in that way. It just came out that way.
Right.
And the last R is the request. What would you prefer that they do differently? F-I-R-R. I always say whenever you want someone to do something differently, go fur them.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And you can't, I mean, people like, I think what you're saying is the FIR technique is really more of making the process educational. It's not just telling or making a demand, but it's really giving them the full perspective as far as, A, why you're doing it, specifically deal with examples. It's like watching yourself, you know, on video, in essence, doing something. When you look at it, you yourself may understand and realize that there's a sense of improvement. And then, of course, it's, you know, just making sure that you're not just making demands, you're respecting the other person. And then making that request. It seems like it's better management, and ultimately you'll get a better result.
You see, most people, when they start to offer criticism to people or offer feedback, will start with their opinion. For example, they might say, you're not a team player. Well, that is going to set somebody off. If you start and you say, I noticed that this morning when you came in, you were so preoccupied, you walked right by three people who said hello to you.
Right.
And I noticed that you were the only one that didn't pitch in when we had the time crunch and we're trying to get the project in under budget. And then you can say the impact. When I see those things, I don't think you're a team player.
Right.
But you have to start with the facts first.
Right. Yeah, people need to understand that. And I think explaining to them and letting them know that, again, it gives you more credibility because you're not really being just accusatory. You're just allowing them to reflect on their own actions. Let's deal with, and this is probably its own topic, how to deal with angry people. And then, of course, we have one last thing we want to cover, which is how to negotiate or say no, which is the USA technique, angry people. I mean, we deal with it every day. I had someone send me an email last night, which was just horrible. And I thought to myself, what an angry person.
Well, first of all, we have to understand that anger is a normal, healthy human emotion. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's normal. It's okay
right.
to be angry.
Right.
It's how we express our anger. And the way to do that is in the context of the FUR technique. You know, this is the impact. When I see you doing that, I'm angry.
Right.
It's perfectly appropriate to say, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed, I'm concerned, as long as we do it within context after the facts.
Right.
It's perfectly appropriate to respond. It's how we respond to anger which is going to make us successful or not. Remaining calm, breathing, and then saying the facts after the emotions have sort of subsided.
Right. And the last, I know we have how to negotiate and or say no.
How to negotiate, say no. The first thing that we're always going to do is repeat back the request that was made. It sounds to me as if you need me to do this. That's the understand. The second step situation is here's my situation or here's how I see it.
Right.
And the A in the USA formula is suggest alternative action. Could we try this?
Right.
Or might we compromise in this way? So it's number one, understand. Number two, my situation. And number three, suggest alternative action.
You know, Barbara, a lot of these things, again, these things sound very common in a sense that these are easy things to implement. These are easy things that once people know about it, they're able to just sort of get it and put it into motion. They don't cost a lot of money. These are all tips and strategies that people can do. I want to first thank you for being on the program. People want to contact you. Please contact Barbara at www.barbarabronstein.com. Call her if you want her book on Firefly Moments, 101 Stories to Light Up Your Life at 800-827-0063. Thank you for being here. It's been great. Hopefully we'll even have you again giving us some more tips on how to really communicate effectively. At the very least, you want information as far as the seminars, info@businesscounselor.com. As you all know, reach me outside of the studio at ian@businesscounselor.com or 561-982-7800. Take today's tips, communication, and any of the stuff we talk about on how to maximize your potential. Make sure you're dealing with it every day. Have a great week and make a tremendous success. I will speak to you all next week. Take care.
You've been listening to The Business Counselor with your host, Ian Berkowitz, a former attorney advisor with the United States Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. Currently, Ian is a practicing business and real estate attorney in Boca Raton. The Business Counselor is dedicated to providing you with resources and information on all aspects of succeeding in your business. If you're starting, growing, expanding, or exploding your business, this is the program for you. If you weren't able to reach Ian today and would like to contact him during the week, please email ian@businesscounselor.com. Join Ian again next Wednesday after the 11 o'clock news for another hour of The Business Counselor on AM 1230 WBZT, the talk station.
WBZT.com. Streaming now. It's 12 o'clock.